This is episode 56 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Greg Agigian's book, After the Flying Saucers Came, A Global History of the UFO Phenomena. When I have guests on my podcast, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I'm going to read from the introduction, and this is what Greg has written. Lyndia Morell got off work late that night. For some time, she had worked as a masseuse at the Swedish sauna in Manchester, New Hampshire, and on November 2nd, 1973, she left work at around 2:45 a.m. After getting in her 1964 Chevy Corvair, she stopped at Ben Roy's restaurant, where she had some coffee and chatted with a co-worker for 45 minutes. After they parted, Lyndia took the opportunity to get some gas from the station across the road. She then headed off to her home in Goffstown, about 20 minutes away. As she went through Pennantville, travelling northwest on Mast Road, Route 114A, she noticed a large, bright yellow light that flashed red, green and blue in the sky off to her left. She continued driving, and after about a mile, she looked again and saw that it seemed to be in the same position, but appeared brighter. Upon reaching the intersection of Routes 114 and 114A, Lyndia lit a cigarette and noted that the light she had been watching had gone out. That seemed odd for a planet, she thought. For the first time, she began considering the possibility that she was seeing one of those unidentified flying objects or UFOs people talk about. Soon after, the light appeared again. As Lyndia drove on, she noticed the light continued its pattern of alternately going out and coming back on, all the while staying in the same position in the sky. And then suddenly, after crossing the intersection of routes 114 and 13, there was the light, this time straight ahead down North Mast Road. Now it was larger, closer, and lower than it had been before, maybe 1,600 feet away from her car. At this point, she could make out the contours of an odd-looking object, an orange and gold honeycombed globe, covered in hexagonal panels, with the exception of one oval window. She could see that the flashing, coloured lights were actually beams coming from the centre of the sphere. All the while, the object emitted a high-pitched whining noise, a sound that produced a tingling sensation throughout her body. Until this moment, Lyndia mostly had been awestruck by what she saw. But then, events took a different turn. Without warning, she felt unable to remove her hands from the steering wheel, and her eyes seemed to be eerily drawn to the UFO. Somehow, the sphere was taking control of her body. As far as she knew, Lyndia later recalled, she kept driving. But for around half a mile, she experienced what she described as a loss of memory, after which she realised she no longer had full control of the car as it sped down the road ever closer to the object. When she came within about 500 feet of the UFO, she could see that it was about the size of a three-storey building. And then, something else caught her eye. In the window was a humanoid figure, standing behind what was perhaps a control board. Its round head was greyish, lacking a nose and ears, the face wrinkled like an elephant's hide with a slit for a mouth, completed by two large egg-shaped eyes dotted with dark pupils. As she stared at the creature, she had the distinct impression that it was telling her, "Don't be afraid." If the being meant to put her at her ease, it had the opposite effect. Lyndia became terrified, convinced she was about to be abducted. As she passed the local cemetery, she noticed a house on the left-hand side of the road. Shielding her eyes from the bright lights of the sphere with one arm, she used the other hand to veer the car onto the lawn of the home of a couple by the name of Bidoon. With her car engine running and headlights still on, Lyndia ran up to the house and pounded on the kitchen door, shouting, "Help me! Help me! Help me!" Roused from their sleep, the couple stumbled downstairs. When Mr. Badoon opened the door, Lyndia fell into his arms, crying, "Help me! I'm not drunk! I'm not on drugs! A UFO just tried to pick me up!" The couple brought her into the house and phoned the police. It was 4:30 a.m. Goffstown patrolman Daniel Jubenville arrived 10 minutes later and interviewed the agitated household. In his report, Jubenville noticed, "The subject was quite shaken up, and this writer did not note any evidence of alcohol or drug influence." Despite its astonishing nature, this account of an eerie encounter was not altogether out of the ordinary by the last third of the 20th century. Elements of the story seem to have been taken from a science fiction movie. Spacemen with superpowers travelling in unusual craft, chasing down a terrified woman for some unknown purpose. Disturbingly enough, the details were not penned by a Hollywood screenwriter, but rather came from a hard-working New Hampshire resident whose daily life was suddenly interrupted by an extraordinary event. Lyndia Morell was neither the first nor the last to report seeing an unidentified flying object and its strange occupants. Soon after the end of the Second World War, people all over the world began catching glimpses of unfamiliar things, sometimes zipping across and sometimes hovering in the sky. As news spread about this odd phenomenon, it left witnesses, government officials, journalists, and the general public bewildered. Were these objects real? If so, what were they? Where were they from? Who invented them and why? Speculation soon turned to beings from another world, aliens. This marked the beginning of a new worldwide preoccupation. It was the dawn of the flying saucer era. UFOs inspired both conjecture and controversy, as they continued to do so. In December 2017, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and Politico all featured articles on the existence of a secret US government program investigating unidentified flying objects during the years 2007 to 2012. The Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, ATIP as it was called, appeared to have been charged with investigating sightings mostly by US military personnel and determining whether any of the reported objects posed a threat to national security. All told, as the early reporting had it, ATIP received around $22 million in funding over the life of the program. Apart from what made the ATIP news stories in 2017 and 2018 so compelling is that they were accompanied by two videos released to the media, with a third following months later. The footage purported to show US Navy jet encounters with unusually shaped, fast-moving aircraft. In addition, a charismatic career military intelligence officer named Luis Elizondo came forward to say he had run the program and believed that the military was far too dismissive in its handling of these sightings by personnel of the armed forces. He soon became the heroic face of a movement demanding government disclosure about what had been and was still going on. Skeptics raised questions about the video footage and witness reports, and subsequent reporting suggests that ATIP existed largely in name only, and that the federal funds were almost exclusively used to explore various paranormal phenomena of interest to defense contractor Robert Bigelow. Nevertheless, when several influential American politicians took up the cause, and Harvard astronomer Avi Loeb raised the possibility that the first interstellar object ever seen to enter our solar system might be an alien spacecraft, talk of UFOs and alien visitors entered the mainstream. Government officials sought to distance themselves from the association of unidentified flying objects with aliens by adopting a new terminology, unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP. After the Office of the Director of National Intelligence released an intelligence assessment in June 2021, in which it stated that most of the objects reported were real and unexplained, however, the tone of public discussion changed. UFOs and those who had spent years insisting on their existence appeared to finally gain the official recognition many had sought. In the summer of 2022, the US government established an office dedicated to collecting and analysing information about sightings, the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, and relabeled UAP Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena. UFOs were back. So this week I was reading from After the Flying Saucers Came, A Global History of the UFO Phenomenon by Gregor Gigian. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And a great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. And if you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.